Hey, it's so great to have Gary Wilton in the studio. Gary is somebody whose face you'll know his name. You may have even put the two together because he's a very well-known character on the island. Gary is in the studio this morning because yesterday he was awarded, and I'm going to ask him in a minute how the ceremony went, but he was awarded I always get this wrong, an Outdoor Access Champion Award, which is given by the Walking Access Commission Arahikoi Aotearoa every year. And Gary Wilton, who's been working on the island or on the island since 2002 when he came to run the island's trails, he now knows them better than anyone really, because for the last 10 years he's been managing Waiheke's Parks and Walkways for Auckland Council. He's also been an instrumental force in creating the Waiheke Walking Festival, which now of course is the largest annual event on the island in terms of numbers of people coming to take part. And perhaps most significantly, and tied up with all of this, he's been promoting, developing and finishing off a lot of Te Arahura, the 100-kilometre network of walkways and trails on the island. Gary Wilton, welcome to Waiheke Radio, and thanks for giving up a little bit of Saturday morning.
Thanks, Greg. Great to be here.
Oh, good. Well, listen, you've been awarded this thing. You're now a trail champ of some sort, an Outdoor Access Champion. This doesn't come as a lot of surprise to a lot of us, to be honest, because we know how tied up and how passionate you are about walking, running and the outdoors. How did it feel yesterday when you got your gong down at Mackenzie Reserve?
Oh, it was great. It was a beautiful morning. We had an interesting dialogue with the guys down in Wellington at the Walking Access Commission who gave the award. They got in touch a few months ago and said, we want to give you this award. We want to have a ceremony on the island. Where do you think would be a good venue? And looking at the end of May, weather, it was a little bit tricky to decide whether we could get away with it outdoors or not. But I thought about the indoor venues and it just didn't seem
Be out in the rain, frankly.
And in Mackenzie Reserve, the Friends of Mackenzie Reserve there have created this beautiful little amphitheatre area with stepped seating and tables, some great storytelling signage down there. It was a beautiful morning yesterday morning, bright sunshine,
it was nice and still.
And we had about 30, 40 people down in the reserve, and a fantastic morning.
Oh, fantastic. Congratulations. Mackenzie Reserve itself is very much sort of symbolic of the community taking some responsibility for the, for the parks, reserves and trails of Waiheke. It was, when I came here, just a bunch of fairly awful bloody pine trees, which we all love, don't get me wrong, but then they became largely condemned and the Friends of Mackenzie Reserve were formed, as I remember. This is all just my own memories here, but and somewhat 10, 15 years later, it's this amazing place.
Yeah, we told the story yesterday in the first 2 weeks that I was in the job. A fresh-faced, reasonably recent import to the island with a background in communications plunged into a neighbourhood meeting where people were, as usual, grumbling about the way that Auckland Council had neglected the environment, their neighbourhood and the world in general. And I was told in no uncertain terms by a collection of people who you would think would have hearts of gold that they would take me to the cleaners unless I sorted the situation out, which is fantastic, because I just thought, well, we're not going to take these people on. I think we better just harness that energy and point it in a positive direction. And it's been one of the best things.
It's a great success story, isn't it?
The last 10 years for me, working with that team. I've always said that really counts. Role on that project is to provide the petrol, and they're sitting at the steering wheel.
Yeah,
and
I think I'm sure, you know, I think Waiheke has got, you know, a particularly strong side to it, in which, you know, locals are quite happy to get involved and work with, and sometimes probably against council, I'm sure. But down there in Mackenzie Reserve, they've planted more than 10,000 native plants and trees.
Yeah, I think getting on for 15,000 now.
15,000 now, yeah. My stats are a bit old. It's only 10 acres, 4 hectares of public reserve on the northern side between Oinadora and Palm Beach, and 15,000 trees there now. You know, that's 100,000 birds in a few years, isn't it? I mean, that's...
Yeah, yeah. And people were worried when we took the pine trees down. I mean, the pine trees were falling over.
They were condemned, weren't they, for dangerous?
Yeah, we were pretty much going to the point where council was going to have to close the reserve in case a tree fell on someone in a storm. And we know that closing reserves on Waiheke doesn't work anyway.
Yeah, because we use them anyway. Yeah, yeah. Poor old Onatangi Forest and Bird, eh? I heard that they were struggling to keep people off the track for very good reasons, but a lot of people were just, you know, whatevers.
Yeah, yeah. But the bird life there is fantastic now. And across the island, you know, hearing the kaka right through the island morning and evening.
What is that? I had Hugh Ross up here a few months ago talking about the kaka. And I was in Titoki Reserve just a few days ago. And there's a large stand of pines above it. And we know they love pine trees and stuff. But the kaka are now quite, I wouldn't say prevalent, but I did see one flying over artworks recently.
Yeah, yeah. So I think there are a few colonies. There are a lot down the eastern end around Manawar Bay.
Okay.
So probably 30 or so. I mean, who knows this stuff much better than me, but I see them and hear them there. There also seem to be a group in between, it would be Frank Street, Hekarua Street.
Oh, okay.
That, in the little valley there. Wow. There's some bigger, it's the big old trees with holes in them that they like, whether they be native trees or non-native trees.
Yeah.
And there is a group around.
They nest in the holes in the trees.
Yeah,
don't they?
Yeah. Titoki Hillside Road.
Yeah.
There seems to be a group there as well. And Dawn, you hear them.
Yeah.
And the people who, so Forest and Bird in Onatangi, they're there as well. And people who live next to the Forest and Bird Reserve in Onatangi almost begrudge their lions to them.
Look, I know you go to the barrier and people say, aren't the kaka wonderful? And locals go, no, not really. But of course they are. What about, we could just talk a little bit about Te Arahura itself, which is, an officially named 100-kilometre network, sort of circular network around the island. It takes walkers, and it has to be said that this is becoming a national treasure, not just a Waiheke treasure. There are now Waiheke enterprises set up to take people walking on these, provide accommodation, give guided tours and so on. So this is possibly good for local tourism business as well. It certainly raises our profile as an eco destination rather than just a wine destination. But if I've understood it right, it's sort of in four distinct zones. You can have headlands walks, beaches and batches walks, forest heart walks and walks down the bottom end. Is that an official thing or?
Yeah. And I guess it comes, I've got a background in communications and marketing originally, and Te Arahura was partly me tying together my previous experience and my passion for the walkways on Waiheke. And I guess I'm an old-fashioned socialist, and it's great to have nice stuff, but it's even nicer to share it with people.
Yeah.
And I really want the particularly people of Auckland. You know, we've got situations where people will be living in apartments and townhouses for most of their lives, and it's really important to have places that they can get to and connect with nature and get away from it all. You know, you might not be able to go have a back garden that you can sit out in every summer's evening, but if Waiheke can be people's back garden and they can get out once every few weekends and connect with nature, that's fantastic. So we look to package up what we've got. We've got a very strange walking network here. We've got nowhere on the island is more than 2 kilometres from a walkway or a road.
Wow.
On Waiheke, there is nowhere more than 2 kilometres from a publicly accessible place. And even that is the middle of the loop in the loop road.
Right.
On the Marley Farm block. Even that is only 2 kilometres from a road
from
in any
road,
distance.
Yeah.
So we've got this incredible network, lattice work of tracks across the island, but we have nothing longer than about 4 kilometres. And I struggled with how do I get across how this is great to be able to put together your own little walk and see whatever you want without having, you know, basically to get people to come to Waiheke, but we don't have anything more than 4 kilometres.
Yeah.
Which
isn't enough to attract serious walkers.
No, no. Yeah, so yeah, what we did, we put the best of the tracks and backcountry roads together and gave them the route that shows off the whole island and everything we've got, but then packaged up the different experiences because we know some people want to come to Waiheke and walk in the bush. Others love that, dropping in from Bay to Bay and then having a coffee at the end of it.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Which is wonderful. Even Matiatia Estates and around to Aniroa, that's a wonderful walk and does exactly that. Takes you through the bays and then up for your soy latte in Aniroa. So this is an incredible asset for the future, and you've been very much part of the formalising of this network and stuff. But I think one thing I love about it is that is that when people come to Waiheke to walk, they're coming to Waiheke for Waiheke. Mm-hmm. And no disrespect to anybody's on-island enterprises or anything, but we seem to have an increasing number of attractions that mm-hmm. people come for, mm-hmm. zip lines and archery and all these things. Whereas, in fact, I think it's important we remember that Waiheke is its own attraction. It doesn't have to mm-hmm. cost a lot mm-hmm. to enjoy it. Coming on the ferry is a bit expensive for one-way, you know, return singles from Auckland. But once you're here, and especially if you're over 65, then it's a reasonably affordable way to enjoy one of the nicest islands on the planet.
Making it accessible
is a huge part of that, isn't it? Is a
real key. So really good maps available, good information online.
So we're at that stage now. But fair to say that it has always been a walking island, and it would be not a bad moment to acknowledge Councillor Faye Storer, who was a former Councillor Faye Storer, who led the community board as it was. She was a councillor and on the community board and so on, and a very well-known politician on the island for many years. Faye was very passionate about this sort of stuff, wasn't she?
Yeah. I think it was her happy place.
Yeah.
Always working with her on the walkway stuff. She was really keen to see new trails, but also to see.
Did you work with her? Trails.
We had about a 5-year crossover where we worked together. Yeah, right. She was. Always made walkways a priority.
It's a sort of visionary thing, isn't it? Because once you can lock them in, they're a reasonably low-cost asset. I'm not saying they don't need maintenance, of course they do, but they're a reasonably low-cost asset with a really high return for the user.
It's a legacy for future generations.
That's what I was trying to say.
That's one of our challenges is the next generation, the generation after that.
Mm.
How do we use those fantastic assets we've got? You know, and I talked yesterday a little bit about we've got a beautiful island, and it's great to look at. But when you walk it, you're in it, and you're using all five senses, and you're getting a real experience.
And you're missing the birds.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, skinks. I've been out running in the evening and come across little blue penguins in the middle of the track.
Yeah.
You know, who's the more startled in that situation? I think it was a dead heat. It's amazing. It's amazing what you see if you're out on the tracks.
Yeah, and other people in the past too.
Let's face it. We've made some great steps forward in the last 15 years, but it was the tracks that attracted me to the island in the first place,
exactly.
Yeah, in 2002. Peter Green and Ross Gillespie did incredible work, I think, right through the 80s and 90s.
Indeed.
And I hear stories of Peter was just out there with a spade around Matiatia, just cutting enough bench in the steep bits for people to get round.
Yeah.
They were the real trailblazers. Faye then came in and put a lot of funding from council through the community board at the time into the track network and the parks network as a whole. My predecessor, Patrick Thorpe, was
Patrick,
was
we still miss you. We love Gary, but Patrick, we still miss you. And Tony King Turner too.
Tony was at the ceremony yesterday, and I gave him a shout out, and I decided I'm going to call him from now on. I'm going to call him an artist in soil.
Nice. I think you're all artists in soil, to be honest. Now, on a personal note, I've only just discovered this before we came on air, but you're not long with council. This is also a good opportunity to acknowledge all your amazing work on behalf of Auckland Council and Auckland City before it. Tell us what you're going to do then.
Yeah, finishing up after pretty much 19 years continuous time, full-time and part-time with Auckland Council, that's been an interesting relationship. You know, public service is really important to me, but Auckland Council isn't what it used to be, and I can't make it what I want it to be on Waiheke. So I'm acknowledging that if what I'm all about is creating new trails and opening up land to people, then if I can't do that on public land, then I can do it with private property owners. So the last couple of years I've been running my business Make Tracks on part-time and building some trails for people around the island and on Great Barrier Island, and I'm taking that full-time.
This is private land, so people who want nice trails through their own
land.
Necessarily open to the public, but do you work with them on that level as well?
Yeah, so we say 50 metres to 5 kilometres.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, yeah, and make tracks. We sort of had a bit of a chat before really properly launching over the next few weeks and said, what are we all about? And we came down to this phrase, we find you a happy place.
Yeah, nice.
We'll make you a happy place. You know, we're more than just putting in a track from A to B. We're creating almost private parks.
Yeah.
So whether you've got 1,500 square metres or you've got 15 hectares,
yeah.
We'll look at the land, see what you've got, see what the features are, find things that you never knew you had. You know, we find customers, they've got a bush block, a house maybe at a high point or at the beach, and they just find the bush impenetrable.
Yeah.
And after bush bashing is not
plenty of that. No, that's right.
It's not everybody's cup of tea.
Absolutely not. Mm. And plenty of properties like that on the barrier, aren't there?
Yeah, yeah.
Amazing views, but actually just too dense to get down there.
Mm. So what I do is I get into their block and bush bash. Mm. To my heart's content,
yeah.
And find the waterfalls and find the big gnarly old trees, the viewpoints, the rock outcrops,
yeah.
And then say, hey, this is what we've got. You know, what about we pull a track in here around there, and that'll give you a kilometre circuit. And then if you want something a little bit harder, we can add on this extra 500 metres.
Wow.
And people are coming back to us and saying, yeah, that's our happy place. You know, these are successful people who've done well in life, and you know, quite probably a holiday home. Quite often, and they've got any number of things they can be doing, and they wake up in the morning and they'll do a 2 or 3 kilometre circuit
in the
bush, and it's their bush, and they can appreciate it finally rather than just driving down the driveway and trying to see the wood for the trees.
Yeah, exactly. It's all very well to own a bush property, but if you're just stuck on the outside of it all the time. Well, listen, all the best for your next, you know, stage, the next enterprise, the you know, bush track making future for you. Thank you on behalf of the island, Gary, for all the amazing work you've done for us, both as a paid council person, but as much as a volunteer and just somebody who's got that extra passion for the island. We need lots of people like that. And so, Gary Walton, thanks so much for coming in this morning.
Thank you, Greg.